The hailing frequencies are open, everyone, because this is GHL Extra on the Patreon, but you already know that because you're beautiful, sexy, lovely patrons. I am Jason Inman. We do not have Ashley again for this one. And by the way, because you are our patrons, Ashley is at a rehearsal for a new play that she just got cast in. So that's all super good for her. That's the reason why she couldn't be here. But sadly, Taylor didn't get to talk to Ashley, and he's back here. Taylor Esposito, the founder, the CEO, the mogul of Ghost Cliff Studios, also the letter of Jupiter Jet. The worst dudes, Beef Bros. You did Beef Bros, right?
I did Beef Bros.
Yeah, that's right. Beef Bros was a great book.
I love Beef Bros. It was so much fun.
Did you make the logo as well?
No, I think that was, who worked on Beef Bros? Tyler? Yeah, I think Tyler did that one.
It's all good. Taylor, thank you again for joining us here on the Patreon podcast. I wanted to get to, it's so funny. I don't know if you know, but you have your old website is still up. TaylorEsposito.com.
Yeah, it's still there. I just never took it down.
It has everybody, you can go to TaylorEsposito.com.
Or don't.
and first off, there's a lot of very 90s design choices here. It's
that,
all good.
That site was made directly out of college. I have no... I'm not married to anything there. I've just been too lazy to take it down.
It's all good. I mean, half of my website is not up. It's just like web design is one of those natural things of our industry where they're like, oh, you got to have a website. But then to actually put the time into building a website, like it's so much time. It's such a time suck.
Even Ghostlive, which I'm actually proud of that site. Mm-hmm. I made it and then it kind of just sits there. You know, like I have no way of knowing who actually goes to it. Most of my work truly does come from word of mouth or recommendation. So like it's there everyone has to have one, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, I will say I went to it because it was one of the only places I could find. I wanted to try to find a list of all the titles you worked on because sadly the comic book database is gone.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate. And that was such an amazing resource. So this is like, I know you have way more stuff on here than this, but this was like a good place to like kind of just look at all the different titles you've worked on. Cause you basically have, it seems, lettered every DC Comics family book that exists out there. I see you're on Action Comics, you're on Batman, Constantine, Detective Comics, The Flash, Forever Evil, Justice League, every version of Justice League, Superman, Supergirl, Red Hood is here, Team 7, dear Lord, Team 7.
No, like I said, I did a lot of fill-ins and Team 7, I think I came in as that book was ending, there's like someone's just got to finish this book. So
yeah, and you were looking at you even have Amazing Spider-Man I see here.
Well, that's not anything Marvel is my production work from before.
Ah, okay, I see, yeah. I see. So let me ask you this: in terms of some of the modern books you're working on right now, is there anything that you're doing in any of these books that is really exciting to you that you guys think you're like, oh, okay, we're trying some like very different, some very weird things that is not traditional?
I mean, I wouldn't say there's too much weird stuff like that. Like, you know, like outside the box, definitely anything with Aubrey. Aubrey's always trying to push the envelope, Aubrey Sitterson. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Beef Bros, like super bombastic, like crazy looking, or The Worst Dudes were, you know, as the book promises you on the cover, it's a filthy book. And, you know, there's just weird stuff going on inside. And, you know, we get to play with that a little bit. Aubrey had this idea, and I'm not really a fan of like, you know, everybody gets their own balloon type of thing. But it was like, well, they all have these catchphrases and we should just play them up. So like our Sam Spade type, the private eye, his line is done in like a very typewritery font, like almost like, you know, old school. And then like the print has like these little stars glowing around his thing as he says, fuck. And then the cat guy, you know, the pink cat, he's got this big over the top balloon going perfect, you know, like, so those were fun to do. And it was just a little different. But you know, on my end anyway, everything's pretty like just make it look good. Make it work with whatever's going on. That said, though, I do have a luxury of working on a lot of fun projects. Like all these projects I mentioned with Aubrey, between, you know, Savage Hearts and Beef Bros and The Worst Dudes. And then working with my buddy David Avalone on Elvira and Drawing Blood, which is the semi-autobiographical story of Kevin Eastman, which may or may not have happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all fun. You know, I mean, that's the beauty about that book. Like, I get to work with Kevin Eastman. I get to work on Kevin Eastman pages. Like,
and to make everyone clear, if you don't know who Kevin Eastman is, one of the co-creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The original granddaddy.
Yeah. Like, you know, you might know that title. Like,
you might have heard that story.
You might have heard of those characters, the giant thing that ate up the 80s. So, you know, let me ask you, is there any lettering work out there right now, currently, at the time of this recording, that is being done by another letterer that, like, just really impresses the hell out of you?
I mean, anything Nate Picos does is incredible to me. Like, he's one of my mentors. I love looking at his stuff. As we mentioned in the other show, Tom Napolitano is just doing some crazy stuff. I look at him like, damn it, I got to up my game again. who else is out there? Pat Brosseau is doing some really cool stuff. He's one of those guys who's been around since the hand lettering days, and he'll do like these hand lettered sound effects in like Wonder Woman or something like that. And I'm just like,
Let me ask you this, Mr. Esposito, you know, Professor Esposito, have you ever tried that method of lettering, the actual like cut out and glue and put that on? Have you ever just tried it to see what it was like?
No. And I really do want to, learn how to hand letter just for myself, just to know I can do it. But that's going to be part of what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get the same lessons the students used to do back in the day. Cause like, that was one of the things when I took over, teaching lettering, we were like, we're not going to do hand anymore. It's not worth teaching them because they can't get a job doing it right away. You know, like if they want to do it for their own, totally fine. I'm for it. But my goal is to get them working as soon as they get out of school. And to do that, I need to show them everything they need to know about digital lettering. But I do want to go back and do it for myself. You know, like if the project strikes me where it's like, let's say we decide to do something together. And it's like, you know, I'll do this hand lettered. That's where it'll come in. It's not going to be like, okay, I'm just hand lettering again. It's for specials.
What do you, how many successful baby students have you had go on to letter books?
Well, actually my first year teaching will be graduating this year, coming year.
Oh, okay. So that's to come.
They're not there yet, but they're getting close. I have a few students, who've helped me in the past. If you ever pick up any of my books, and you see lettering assist. Those are my students who, you know, they like showed an interest in lettering. And it's like, hey, I want to do like more with this. It's like, all right, fine. Help me set up books. Help me like do all the stuff that just takes up my time. Get some credits. And, you know, it's on top of what I'm teaching them in class. And just to get them more familiar with like what a template looks like and how to handle stuff like that. But it's also my way to like get their names out there. So like by the time they're ready to go, it's like, oh, you studied at the school and you worked at Taylor and I see you even have some experience. Like it's something they can use, you know. One of the hardest things to do is find work in this industry, especially when you don't know anybody. So, you know, if this is the thing I can do to help them not have to deal with that, I'm for it, you know.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so let's also put this out there because, you know, we met because, you know, I'm a comic book writer, Ash is a comic book writer, and we reached out to you to like, hey, would you letter our book? What is something that comic book writers do? Because we have a lot of listeners that want to make their own comic books, want to write their own things. What is something that comic book writers do that you would advise them not doing? Or what is something you're like, hey, from a letterer point perspective, this don't work.
Don't try to treat this like a screenplay. Probably the number one thing. Like, you know, because, and no judgments here, but like a lot of times you have people who like, they wrote a movie script or something and like, oh, I can't afford to do it. I'm going to do it as a comic. Nothing wrong with that. I'm for it, especially if it's a great idea. Great idea is a great idea. Get it out there. But understand, like, that script, you can't just give it whole cloth to an artist, to a letterer, all this stuff. put in the work. See what an artist needs. See what a letterer needs. You know, as much as I love this industry, I wouldn't do anything else in my life. This is my gig. We don't get paid well.
No.
More work we have to do is not going to benefit us, and it's not going to make us very happy. So definitely, as a writer, you have the luxury. This is the quickest part of the job. Do the research. See what everybody else needs. Give it to them that way. They're going to love you for it, and they're going to keep working with you if you make their lives easy.
Yeah, and I think that you could. That's great advice to put into any industry. Now, all right, now let's go to the comic book artist. What is something that comic book artists are doing right now or have done that you would advise against that really makes the job of a letterer more difficult?
Read your scripts.
No. Let's dive. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, like, you know, really pay attention to what's going on. You know, like, I'm not saying stick slavishly to a formula to make sure everything works. But, you know, I see this happen a lot, and, you know, luckily not with you and Ashley. Like, you guys get good artists, but.
Well, I don't need to praise Taylor, but thank you so much.
But when you're doing something, you know, if you have five people in the panel, make sure your first speaker is somewhat reasonably to the left side and your last speaker somewhat reasonably to the right side. Because if speaker one is the second person, and speaker two is the fifth person, and speaker three is the first person, and so on. You know, like, pretty soon what you're going to have is, I don't know how many of you remember memes from our youth, but remember the flying spaghetti monster?
Mm-hmm.
That's what your word balloons are going to look like. They're going to look like flying spaghetti monsters, and we don't want that. It's very confusing.
It's also going to make it so difficult to read. I mean, that is one of the first lessons I learned in comic books, and it's something that I never even considered until I made our first comic, until we wrote our first comic book, where I was like, oh yeah, that makes total sense, because you read everything left to right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is obviously, we're talking the Western style. If you're doing something in the Eastern style, like manga, flip it, go mm-hmm. from right to left. But, you know, keep that in mind. You don't want to over clutter the panel. And the other thing really is, you just want to make sure you leave enough room. And again, this is kind of like, we're going to flip back to the writers a second. So, like, if you're working from a full script, you would have the dialogue and you can see what you have to account for. Even if you just have to pencil in roughly the text, just to get an idea of how much space you need, you know? Now, obviously, the one time that doesn't work is Marvel style, the bane of my existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only reason I say this is because the writer will write this, you know, the plot. The artist will draw everything. You're looking at the artwork. You see the space you have. And then there's writers who willingly put things out of order or make too much dialogue to fit in the panel. It's like, why? You can see it. Why have you done this to me?
Well, from the writer, from the writer perspective, I have an explanation for why I think that happens, because I do think that Marvel style books, yeah, like we talked about, if you don't know what Marvel style is, everybody, Taylor sort of explained it, but it is where the writer just sort of gives a loose outline to the artist. The artist draws. Basically, the writer will just be like, I think this happens on this page, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be this long. And then they add dialogue on top of the artwork. And I think a lot of times writers will fall into the tell, don't show idea, where they're looking at the artwork and they're like, people are not going to understand this, so I'm going to add way too many words to make sure the reader understands exactly what they're seeing on the page. And that's why I think that method leads to the wordiness that annoys letterers like yourself.
And really, all it really matters there is you just have to have more time built in. I think because the Marvel style really did develop from a necessity. It was like, mm-hmm. okay, we have to get all these books out to print. Jack's working on this. Steve's working on this. Whatever, right? Everybody draw everything. I'll write the dialogue at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It evolved out of necessity. Fine. Things have evolved much more since then. You know, like, things are very different now. These stories are kind of plotted well in advance. So there's, like, you know, we're putting things in that we need to know about later. We need to build in more time for the proofing stage. You know, like, we have to look at it and say, okay, fine. This is what we're doing. Okay, Mr. Writer Man, you did all this stuff. it's too much or you're being too wordy. Let's try to simplify things. You know, like, I think we're rushing too much from the pages are drawn. Here's a dialogue. Drop it in. And we're not giving it time to like really see what's going on. You know, what happens time to time with some people is everyone's rushing, and what will happen is the book will be done. It's not at the printer yet, but it's like, oh, we forgot this. Oh, we forgot this. I forgot this. And like, it doesn't seem like a lot, but over time that builds up. Cause if you say, oh, I forgot this, I have to stop what I'm doing. I have to go back to that book. I have to pull it again. I have to make those changes. I have to finalize it again. You know, like, it doesn't seem like a lot, but add up all those little seconds and you're really eating up people's time. And also just, you know, I can only speak for myself again, but you ever do something and then someone like stops you in the middle of it and you just lose all momentum?
Yes. Like, oh yeah.
That's murder on the creative. So like doing that, like, yeah, I'm only helping you for 5 minutes, but I've just lost half an hour.
To switch tracks and to switch productivity. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So I understand things happen. Mm-hmm. Like the 11th hour, you realize something's wrong. That's life. You know, we have to account for that. But when it happens all the time, or like it happened this week where I got 3 separate emails in the course of an hour from the same guy.
Well, I will say, one of the biggest piece of advice I can, and a lot of our patrons here like are very interested in the creative process of comic books. And I will say the biggest piece of advice I could give to anybody that's thinking about creating a comic book is, and this was a life changer for me, this is something that we didn't learn, is hire an editor.
Oh, for sure.
Hire an editor that will not only look at your script before you give it to the artist, just to make sure that it's clear and it's concise, and the editor will also, that's why Brittany Matter, who's the editor for Super Best Friend, I love her because she'll always be like, that might be too many words for that panel, or that might make things difficult, or she'll always be like, you should add a note for Taylor here just to make sure he catches it. And then the other plus is that, this is the other thing I would say, with that editor, get them to look at your script, but also get that editor to look at the finished lettering, because Brittany has caught so many things that just because I've read the script so many times, I would have never picked up on.
I've made mistakes where I looked at it 15 mm-hmm. times and never noticed anything and said, oh, it's as plain as nose in your face. The thing is, someone like Brittany, I mean, she's great. She's definitely a student of the craft, and I think that matters. I always say the best editors were always people who've done the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ask me who are some of the best editors, I'll tell you Denny O'Neill, Larry Hama,
Len Wein,
but they were all creatives in one way or another. Even someone like, you know, Marie Jennings, at DC right now, she's editor in chief, right?
Yep.
She's done it all.
And Jim Chadwick is another name I throw out there that is.
I don't know how much, did Jim do a lot of like comics work? Like, I know he's a pretty decent artist. I know he worked over at Wildstorm for a long time.
Back in the day, when he was like in the Wildstorm days or pre-Wildstorm, I've seen it a lot on his Twitter and his Instagram. We're getting way down a tangent on this one, but he used to like draw and kind of make his own little kind of like web comics before they were web comics.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the thing. Like,
yeah,
he's a student of it. Mm-hmm. So, like, even if he didn't work professionally as an artist or something like that, he knows what goes into it and he gets it.
Yes.
And I think that's really the difference between a good editor and a great editor. I'm not saying that, like, oh, if you're just like an English major or something, you're not going to be good. You will be good. And you can learn the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who've like been there and have gotten into the new degree, like they know what's going to happen. They know the problems. They can help you avoid them. That's really what I'm getting at.
And I think that's a perfect way to end the podcast. Taylor, real quick, tell all our patrons where they can find you online in case they need to check out some of your work or hire you for your future project.
So my biggest stomping grounds is Twitter. You can find me at Taylor Espo. If my presence there is a little blue, definitely just go to @Ghostcliff. You can also do @Ghostcliff for Instagram. That's just work stuff. So, you know, you won't get any of my, oh, everything's wrong and I hate life, that kind of stuff. You can also find me on Facebook at Ghostcliff Studios, or, you know, just go to the website, ghostcliffstudios.com.
Nice. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of GHL Extra. Thank you so much for your excellent work on our comic books. And thanks for being an awesome letterer, man.
Thank you for for all the kind words, and thanks for, you know, letting me keep working on your great stuff.
Always, man. Always. If I can make the river go the place I want it to, you will be the letter on every one of my books. So everybody out there, also thanks to you for supporting the Patreon, and thanks for listening, because it's all because of your support that we can talk to Taylor for more time. So have a great day. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye, super friends.